But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I feel alright. You know I feel alright. Welcome to the show. I'm Michael Wilde, and this is Mostly Singles on WGXC 90.7 FM. And tonight, it's the 1964 and 1968 show, a kind of follow-up or natural result of the OK Boomer idea from last month, where I shook that tree, and this tonight is a lot of what fell out. Among that broad range of music, I started thinking about 1964 and 1968, and you know what happened in those 4 years. The world spun into something entirely different, and it happened so fast, at least in retrospect. So I thought I'd put together a show of only records from those 2 years, mixing them up so you can hear it. And a little caveat here: I'll try not to philosophize too much. It's really hard not to. You know, but here we go.
We boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh. Michigan seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces. She said the man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said, be careful, his bow tie is really a camera. Toss me a cigarette, I think there's one in my raincoat. We smoked the last one an hour ago. So I looked at the scenery. She read her magazine, and the moon rose over an open field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for a man.
From the sun, before a new day has begun, stay here with me in the moonlight shade, for in the light I'm afraid.
Hold back the sun,
we don't want to hold
back the sun,
we won't let tomorrow
ever
the dawn, and make this night go on and on. For in the light of a new day, things may look different some way. So please stay.
Hold back the sun.
Oh,
Grazing in the Grass. That was Hugh Masekela on the Uni label from 1968. The original, inspired by a cowbell that South African trumpeter and singer-songwriter Hugh Masekela heard in a novelty song in Zambia. The genius of music, and I hope this brings back something beautiful. And I was thinking, too, that there's sort of a through line with tonight's show about it isn't just 1964 and 1968, but also these, you know, peppered throughout the selections are inspirations that I've uncovered of, you know, how the song arrived into the mind of the composer. And a lot of it is accidents, like sound effects, things they heard, little bits of weirdnesses that have cropped up, you know, like a novelty song, a cowbell, a busy signal, a phone, stuff like that. It's kind of interesting. Okay, before that, I said I wouldn't philosophize, and, you know, I'm going to try not to. That's going to be impossible. Hold Back the Sun, The Scarecrow, and that was the Date label from 1968, co-written by Ron Dante, whose voice is forever branded in my brain, singing Sugar Sugar as the leader of the Archies, a song I definitely won't be playing, you know, not even on the Earworm show, if there's another one. The Monkees, you know, turned it down, that song Sugar Sugar, and, you know, their refusal to sing it was the beginning of the end. Don Kirshner decided he didn't need real people. He was so outraged that they wouldn't sing it that he gave it to a cartoon. And that was the singer of that last song, of Hold Back the Sun. Before that, America, Simon and Garfunkel on the Columbia label from 1968 from the album Bookends. Michigan seems like a dream to be now. Who knew? You know, I mean, that's just such a haunting line now. I mean, you know, hope, anxiety, anxiety, hope, anxiety. You tell me. You know, I was haunted at the time, and it still hits me that way. This interstate ride that inspires the lyric came from a road trip Paul Simon took with his then-girlfriend Kathy of Kathy's Song fame in 1964. So it represents and owes something to each of the years we're hearing tonight. It's both. And if you're just tuning in, it's the 1964 and 1968 show edition of Mostly Singles. I'm Michael Wilde. This is WGXC 90.7 FM. Celebrating these two seminal years, I'm going to call them, from the 60s. Years that I remember, on the one hand, it's where my first memories really begin, 1964. That dates the earliest. My first memory of a record was dancing to I Want to Hold Your Hand in Sue Coe's basement. I know there's a lot of Sue Coe's out there, but this is the Sue Coe in Radburn who lived on Ballard Place. She was the cousin of my then friend. I was four. He was the first friend I ever made. He came over to my house when I was one, and I remember dancing in the basement to the Beatles. That's like my first, I sort of start my music memories with that. And, you know, and then the other half of the show, or not half, but, you know, all mixed up in this is 1968. So I was a little more formed. But just barely. But the world was moving quickly, and you know, I was moving right along with it. That set started out with Phenomenal Cat, the Kinks on the Pi label from 1968 from the album. The Kinks are the Village Green Preservation Society. It tells the story of a phenomenal cat who lived in the land of idiot boys. He just lived to eat because it kept him fat, which was how he wanted to stay. I won't philosophize. Here's Ray Davies, who wrote it. This is his quote. "Maybe Village Green Preservation Society was my psychedelic album. I withdrew into my little community spirit, my trivial world of little corner shops and English black and white movies. Maybe that's my form of psychedelia." I love that. And I love English black and white movies. I was so happy to read this. I've been watching a lot of them lately. My thing is that I get nostalgic for a time and a place I've never been in. Well, probably other people do that too. It's an odd phenomenon. And we started out the show with A Hard Day's Night, The Beatles and the Capitol label from 1964, my personal copy, my single. According to one musicologist, the sound of this chord, the chord that opens the song and what opened the show, is the most discussed pop opening of all time. And, you know, what a better way to start. A hint to all you Rickenbacker 360 12 string players with a broken heart because you can never get it to sound this way. There's a piano in this, and George Martin is playing it. It's, for you nerds out there, it's the piano nerds, of which I am one. It's D2, G2, D3, played on a Steinway Grand. And I learned this about 15 years ago, and it came as a revelation. So, and I hope that there's more revelations to come in this show. I'm going to just keep going now with Am I the Same Girl, in a version you may not be that familiar with. Here we go. Thank you.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. No is the saddest experience you'll ever know. Yes, it's the saddest experience you'll ever know. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. It's just no good anymore since you went away. Now I spend my time just making rhymes of yesterday. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. One is the loneliest number. One is the loneliest number. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number, much, much worse than two. A number divided by two.
Oh,
Going Out of My Head, Little Anthony and the Imperials on DCP International 1964. Originally a doo-wop group out of Brooklyn in 1957 called the Chesters. When the group changed its name and some of the lineup, they signed in 58 with End Records. And you might have heard me waxing on other shows about this label in this period from 58 to 60 that was truly a golden age. The Flamingos' End Sessions are some of the most beautiful things on earth, and that goes too for the Imperials, whose first single was Tears on My Pillow. Little Anthony is Jerome Anthony Gourdin, noted for his high-pitched voice, which is still going strong, believe it or not. One or two changes later, after a stumble, by 1964 they really hit their stride. In other words, they carried the magic into the new era, and I want to add that it's rare for doo-wop to have survived that change. Most of it morphed into surf. Before that, One. That was Harry Nilsson, RCA Victor, 1968, the original. Nilsson wrote this after repeatedly calling someone and getting a busy signal. He kept on calling and kept getting the beeps. From what I gather, he stayed on the line listening to the beep, 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 beep that became the song's opening notes. In 1968, you know, I'm going to go back. I'm an old man wild now. I was going to go back, as I turned back the clock to the early days of 1968. We all had rotary phones. And, you know, I was thinking about the way the song was written, and I'm thinking, from all that dialing, he started focusing. This is my little fantasy about it. From all that dialing, he started focusing on the numbers and the little holes, and feeling sorry for himself since he couldn't connect. Probably because whoever he was calling took the phone off the hook. That's what we used to do in those days. That's sort of like, that's what I think the backstory of that song is. And started out with Am I the Same Girl, Barbara Acklin, Brunswick, 1968, first recording, though no doubt more familiar as the instrumental Soulful Strut by Young Holt Unlimited, on the label anyway, although those two, it is believed, didn't actually play on it. But you might be thinking, you know, I never knew that song had words. What happened is that the producer replaced the vocals with a piano solo and released that version first. This one, though, is the original. Okay, this is the 1964 and 1968 show of Michael Wilde, and we're going to keep on rolling with this next song.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Where I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. Till I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you, don't you want me to love you? Yeah!
Change your mind.
Bring It On Home to Me. That was Eddie Floyd on the Stax label from 1968, written and originally performed by Sam Cooke in 1962, and subsequently covered by The Animals, Sonny and Cher, Aretha, Rod Stewart, John Lennon, and also McCartney, to name but a few. Eddie Floyd, who sings this version, is probably best known for his work on the Stax label as a singer-songwriter from this time and into the 70s. His big hit was Knock on Wood, originally written for Otis Redding, but his version was released, and that started his solo career. Eddie Floyd. And before that, it was a two-part invention in B-flat major from book one of The Well-Tempered Clavier. That was Switched on Bach, Columbia, 1968. Two records, this and the one before it, from what we started out with from the White Album, that were playing constantly in my house. And for me, one after the other, just like now. So this is a little recreation of my world. Wendy explains a lot, doesn't it? Wendy Carlos, who had to go by Walter Carlos because it was still only 1968. All that talk about revolution was yet to happen if you happen to be a woman. Created the entire record note for note backward on the Moog synthesizer, working closely with Moog himself. She had to do it one note at a time because the machine would go out of tune. It was recorded in the basement of a brownstone on the west side of Manhattan using a custom-built 8-track recording machine constructed by Carlos from components built by Ampex. It took 1,000 hours to produce. Carlos said, this is her quote, "You had to release the note before you could make the next note start, which meant you had to play with a detached feeling on the keyboard, which was really very disturbing in making music." As to the synthesizer, she often had to hit it with a hammer to get the proper pitch. So there she is, this pioneer on the Upper West Side, knocking the hell out of Moog synthesizer to play Bach. You know, that's how that record was. And that record got a lot of play when it came out. I have actually two copies. We opened the set with a song that really had an effect in its time, Helter Skelter, The Beatles, Apple, 1968. And when it came out, Helter Skelter was still a twisty slide in a British children's playground. And the reason I say that is because 1969 hadn't happened yet. And I can't tell you how much I think about things like this, what happens to music and what it means, and how meanings change. Reminds me of a river, and no, I'm not going to go into that metaphor. So this is basically Paul trying to out-who the who claimed to have written the loudest, rawest, dirtiest song they ever recorded. And Paul at this point being 1968 in the spring, was being accused by John of writing granny music. And he wanted to counter that and shed, at least for a moment, the mantle of soppy, sentimental balladeer. Helter Skelter is credited to Lennon McCartney, but the song is all Paul. The symbol of the slide, which winds around a tower in a fairground, is also a symbol, and these are Paul's words, of, quote, "the rise and fall of the Roman Empire as a ride from the top to the bottom. And this was the fall, the demise." He also said, "We did it like that because I liked the noise." The Beatles' White Album is a pastiche of styles, and this song is obviously a forerunner, most clearly of heavy metal, but of a lot more to come. This is what you get when you taunt a Beatle. The producer pushed against the idea of a double album, but the band pushed back, so it has everything but the kitchen sink. George later said that some tracks could have been released as B-sides, but, and this is his quote, "there was a lot of ego in that band." You think? Ringo suggested two separate records, the White Album and the Whiter Album. The songs on this album are the result of that India trip between February and April 1968 that yielded 40 compositions, 26 of which were recorded in rough form that May. So no wonder they wanted a double album. This is Michael Wilde. You're listening to Mostly Singles. This is the 1964 and 1968 show. And we're going to keep the ball rolling with... Well, I don't want to spoil it.
Derrière un Kleenex, je serai mieux. Comment te dire? she passes, each one she passes goes by. Oh, but he watched her so sadly. Walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at he.
Oh.
You're listening to WGXC, Acre, Catskill and Hudson, 90.7 FM, Creative Community Radio for Greene and Columbia Counties. And this is Mostly Singles. I'm Michael Wild. If you're just tuning in, joining us, joining me, this is the 1964 and 1968 show, which is it's an eye-opener for me. I mean, this is, I'm trying not to be, you know, Joe Scientist about this. I'm more like every other one of my shows. This is all coming through the lens and the filter of yours truly. So, you know, I can't separate myself from any of this stuff. Except I have the advantage this time of actually being alive for the music that when it was created. So I have kind of a personal connection to it in one way and another. That was You'll Never Get to Heaven If You Break My Heart. That was Dionne Warwick's on the Scepter label from 1964. The Burt Bacharach, Hal David, Dionne Warwick original. Made more famous maybe by the Stylistics later on, which I think Dionne like hipped Burt Bacharach to. I think that in, it was like 73, I think, and she sort of like got him to listen to the Stylistics and said, oh, they would be perfect for this. When they were. This song is a poppy, paranoid warning to a lover. Nirvana is near, unless those rumors turn out to be true. Don't you love it when I characterize a song and you just heard it, you listened to it, and, you know, here I am sort of parsing it for you. It's just, I know, right? There are other bigger, better Burt Bacharach hits from this year, and also with the incredible Dionne Warwick, but they get played all the time. This is a cool record, and you kind of have to hunt for it, which is why I played it. Before that, The Girl from Ipanema, Stan Getz and Astrid Gilberto on the Verve label from 1964. I've talked about this song before. Here, it appears in Get Yourself a College Girl, a 1964 comedy in the style of a beach party movie with pre-feminist overtones, according to one critic. I mean, this isn't my take. This is I think a Turner Classic Movies guy. You know, I go far afield sometimes to research this stuff. And also, according to this guy, a parody of anti-rock, rock and roll message films. I haven't seen it, or if I have, I've completely forgotten it. Notable for the appearance of Astrid Gilberto, the Brazilian singer who sings this hit song, appearing as herself in the film, backed by Stan Getz and the Stan Getz Quartet. Notable, too, for James Mill Holland as Gordon, you know. And, you know, I invite you to go find out who James Mill Holland is. He's, every time this guy shows up on in an old TV show or a movie or an episode of The Twilight Zone or something, I jump out of my seat. I love this guy. He's great. No, I'm not going to get off on a tangent about James Mill Holland. I so want to, but I won't. Before that, Comment te dire adieu, that was Françoise Hardy on the Disque Vogue label from 1968. Literally, it translates as How to Say Goodbye to You. This is a French adaptation of the song It Hurts to Say Goodbye. There were earlier covers, but the one that inspired Françoise was an American instrumental version, and suitable lyrics were requested, with this cult classic as the result. The video might make you fall in love. That's all I'm going to say about that. And we opened the set with the Pink Panther theme. Henry Mancini and his orchestra and the RCA Victor label from 1964. Composed for the movie in 1963. I know there's people out there going, wait a minute, hold on, whoa, 1963. I know the Pink Panther, but it was released as a single, this single, in 1964. So, is that cheating? Maybe. But remember, if you wanted it in 1963, you couldn't buy this single. Now, that's a hedge. And by the way, that's the only time this kind of funny monkey business comes up in this show. Everything else is like true blue, either from 1964 or 1968. This actually is from 1964, but you know, you could argue. And if you're wondering what came first, see how I'm just switching, I'm just jumping into the next subject, you know. Because I often wonder, you know, with these Pink Panther movies and the show and all that, if, you know, what came first, the music or the cartoon? Because it's just, it's such a perfect melding. You know, it's that Fritz Frayling, I think the other guy's name is DePatie, D-E, capital P-A-T-I-E, the animators for those opening segments, and then later the cartoon. It's, you know, the guy that animated those great Warner Brothers, like the heyday of, you know, Bugs Bunny. And I mean, the guy's a genius. And they're so entertaining, and they so fit perfectly with the theme. I used to wonder about it, like what came first. And this is what the composer said. This is Henry Mancini's quote. "I told the animators that I would give them a tempo they could animate to, so that any time there were striking motions, someone getting hit, I could score to it. They finished the sequence and I looked at it. All the accents and the music were timed to actions on the screen." So it was a little of both. I mean, he gave them the tempo, and the credits then were animated in time to the tune. And if you're wondering, that saxophone player is Plas Johnson, and Mancini had him in mind from the get-go. And he's on record as saying that he always had a musician in mind before he actually wrote the thing. So he sort of heard it. He heard the guy's style, and he matched it all to this. I mean, this is why movies are great, right? Okay. I'm going to keep on going, and I'm not going to give it away.
Tell by your face that you're looking to find a place to settle your mind and reveal who you are. And you shouldn't be shy, for I'm not gonna try hurt you or heal you or steal your star. Open your eyes, get up off your chair, there's so much to do in the sunlight. Give up your secrets and let down your hair and sit with me here by the firelight. Why think about who's gonna win out? We'll make up our story as we go along. give up your secrets and let down your hair and sit with me here by the firelight.
Thank you.
Where were you in 68? If you were in anywhere near Bedford, Bedfordshire in the United Kingdom, you might have known or heard of that band. That was Games. And the band is called Spell. And that was a 1968 acetate. And this track was taken from a four-track EMI disc, EMIDISC, that was part of a record collection in South Birmingham. And the tracks are believed to have been recorded in late 1968. And the only other information I have is that the other song on this side is called Tangled Web. And that's all I know. I thought that was pretty great. Too bad they're a completely unknown band, or maybe you've heard of them. Before that, another great record, Who Do You Love? The Sapphires on the Swan label from 1964. A song with a haunting melody from a group, again, on which there is very little out there. Not to be confused with the Aboriginal all-girl group from Australia, also called the Sapphires, and there's this great movie with them, and I thought it was great. I love those movies, those types of movies, but this one is especially sweet. But this is a different band. This one is from Philly, with members George Garner, Joe Livingston, singer Carol Jackson, and playing guitar on this Joe Renzetti, and other musicians played on other sides by this group. So, you know, all of the information I've managed to dig up, it's all sort of a jumble, and it's because other people played on other songs. This one was co-written by Kenny Gamble, but not a member. Emphatically not a member, because, you know, if you go online and look at this stuff, people sort of ring in with all of this, like, information. It was like, oh, Kenny Gamble was one of the... No, he wasn't. He was not. But he wrote that. And he co-wrote it. And here's a quote. I like this quote. It's, you know, if you poke around, you can find... Inevitably, somebody was there, right? Oh, I was there, or I went to school with these guys, or, you know, they were in my high school. And you get these great little sort of local snapshots. And this is one for this group, the Sapphires. And here's the quote. When I was about 14 years old, I remember my cousin Simp, short for Simpson, we called him, I believe was engaged to the lead singer. I remember her singing this song at a house party, I believe off of Catherine Street near 5th and Catherine in South Philly. That's the quote, you know. That guy was there. Carol was there. Fantastic, right? And it's just a great record. Okay, and then we opened with another great record. That was As We Go Along, the Monkees on Cold Gems from 1968. Written by Carole King and Tony Stern and featuring a soaring Mickey Dolenz lead vocal, with none of the other Monkees actually playing. But we do hear Carole King and Neil Young on guitars, among others. So there's this whole sort of cater of musicians, or cadre, however you say that, of musicians, very, very good musicians, guitar players, you know, playing on these Monkees songs. And this was the mix of the track that appeared in their only movie, Head, which actually had a screenplay by Jack Nicholson. And I think it's a bad movie, but, you know, don't quote me on that. I haven't seen Head since it came out. And I, you know, it's like Help. It's like one of those movies where, you know, the only reason you went to see it was because the Beatles were in it or the Monkees were in it. And whether or not the movie was good was completely, it was like a crapshoot. So I think that I would know it if Head were like this great movie. I think I would know by now. But, you know, it might. You never know. I mean, you know, it could be. It has this song in it. This is one of those Monkees songs that you just never hear, and it features the very best of everyone involved. Peak writing, peak singing, peak playing, peak everything. And perfect here in 1968. Really beautiful. This is Michael Wild. This is a 1964-1968 edition of Mostly Singles. And we're going to keep the ball rolling. And I love to say that because the ball is always rolling. Whether I keep it going or not, and that's sort of the gist of the show. That's one of the sub-themes, that ball just keeps on going no matter what, right? And we're going to keep it going now with the Pyramids.
Thank you.
the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that
consolation is in the stardust of a song. These are the garden walls. Stars are bright. You are in my arms. And that gaze tells this fairy tale of paradise where roses bloom. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it always will remain. My stardust melody, the refrain.
Sometimes I wonder,
sometimes I wonder
why I spend the lonely night,
dreaming of a song.
The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again.
And I am once again with you. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it always will remain. My stardust melody, the memory of love refrain. Beside a garden wall, stars are bright. You are in my arms. The nightingale tells its fairy tale of paradise and roses. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it always will remain. My stardust melody, memory of love refrain. These are the garden walls. Stars are bright. You are in love.
Wasn't true, and you passed them by.
Passed them by.
Though you're in the center ring, and their lines don't mean a thing, why don't you let me try?
Let me try.
Now I don't wear a diamond ring. I don't even know a song to sing. All I know, I'm sure you will see.
You will see.
The things I am saying are true, and the way I explain them to you, listen to me.
La 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 la. I love you.
Oh,
I just want to take a moment to thank everybody who contributed and donated and became a sustaining member in our recent WGXC pledge drive. My show didn't fall in the slot for the pitching, but I wanted to thank everybody who did show up for that, and to just add my two bits worth for my gratitude for being able to bring you this music and to do this kind of show. And you know, I know this is a weird time. You know, life has never been like this. I think that's sort of this idea that inspired tonight. I mean, I was saying, you know, earlier that I did this, you know, this sort of OK Boomer show where I was doing records from, like, you know, the time that I grew up in. And it produced the sort of the stark realization of what actually changed from 1964 to 1968. For some reason, those 2 years just were, when I had gone through all these records, I mean, I go through hundreds of records before I get this collection for each show. And, you know, it leaves sort of an impression, right? And as I said, I was alive for these years, these particular years. I was, you know, let's call it a baby, not a baby, an infant. I was talking about dancing to a record in a basement with my first memory. I was 4, you know, and that was when the Beatles came to America. And it was a serious, hardened memory. It's not one that's been clouded with some, you know, you know, it's not a false narrative memory. It's an actual memory. It's again, it's small because my world was small. And then 68, I went through that from the point of view of an 8-year-old. So, but this music was here. I had an older brother. These records were coming out. My family had them. I had, you know, free access to whatever I could put my hands on. I had a little portable record player. And I played this stuff, and what was coming, you know, while Helter Skelter was coming through the wall, you know, I was putting on Switched On Bach, you know, and so these two things, and Simon and Garfunkel, you know, which was almost a staple in our house, and, you know, every Beatles record that came out, and, you know, the Monkees and all this other stuff and all these singles. And I just thought, while all that was happening, I mean, when history is happening, you don't really think of it as history. You think of it more as what just happened, right? I mean, that's sort of like what it was like back then. I mean, something was happening. I mean, everybody knew it. And, you know, you can watch a lot of documentaries and sort of have that be the narrative. But if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. And these records kind of evoke it. They bring back things, feelings, people, places that you never really maybe hadn't thought of in the same way. And I feel like this ability, this it's really just, it's like a gift from the radio station to me, and a gift from me to you, to be able to just sort of put this together this way. And I'm thinking, this is my pitch for becoming a sustaining member. Where else are you going to get that? I mean, even on like the arty stations, you don't get this and this variety, right? I mean, you'll hear stuff that you on WGXC that you just never hear anywhere else. And so then you sort of, I ask myself, well, what's that worth, right? I mean, so the name of the game is being a sustaining supporting member. I mean, if you want to donate, great. Go to wgxc.org. There's a donate button. We'd love to have you be a sustaining member, so that, you know, you don't even have to think about it. It's just there. It's part of your life. It's part of my life. And I can keep doing this because I love it. I love being able to, because I learn, you know, I'm learning stuff too. I mean, every show, for me, I'm learning something I didn't know before. So, you know, it's not, this isn't just dusty old stuff that I listen to all the time. I mean, some of the, like that song Games that I played by a band I never heard of, that was an acetate. I mean, there's, you couldn't go into a store and buy that record. So, and it was a good one, right? So, okay, enough of my pitch. I just felt like I had to do that, and I really just wanted to thank everyone for showing up and being part of, because that's really what it's about. Okay, this is the 1964 and 1968 show. I'm Michael Wilde, and we're going to keep going with Happy Soul with a Hook. Was Happy Soul with a Hook, Dave Cortez and the Moon People from on the Speed label from 1968, a great song that got famously sampled with a hook. And the reason I'm cutting in now is because I realized after my impassioned plea for supporting membership, I forgot to identify the songs on the in that set we just heard. So quickly, I just want to let you know what you heard. The last song in that, before that was La La Means I Love You, which actually sort of, well, anyway, that was the Delphonics on the Philly Groove label from 1968. The end of Cameo Parkway Records spelled the beginning of Philly Groove with the Delphonics and this song, one of its debut attractions. This, along with Philadelphia International, helped establish Philadelphia Soul, which we've been hearing some of tonight. Some of the classic. And before that, Charade, that was Sammy Kay on the Decca label from 1964. And then before that, before that was Stardust. That was Nino Tempo and April Stevens on the Atco label from 1964. A brother and sister singing act from Niagara Falls. here singing the Hoagie Carmichael classic. And I have a whole paragraph here that I'm going to skip. It's Stardust, you know? It started out its life is in one kind of way, and it ended up in is the thing that dominated the 20th century canon. Fascinating, right? Okay, and then we started out that set with Penetration. That was the Pyramids on the Best label from 1964, a surf group from Long Beach, California, formed in 61, a quintet from Poly High. And it sort of sounds like Pipeline. So it's notable for being the last and final major instrumental surf hit, which gave it a kind of a cachet value to me. Is that the right word? I don't know if that's the right word. It was actually the B-side, and the DJ played the flip. And that happened a lot around that time, the late 50s, early 60s. The DJs were sort of running the market part of, well, that's not true, but in other words, the DJs were responsible for bringing the music that ended up being the popular music. So they had a certain amount of judgment, and in this case, they really loved Penetration, and it actually landed that July, which is 1964, it landed the Pyramids in a Frankie and Annette movie. It was called Bikini Beach, and they performed, I think, four songs altogether. And two of them, they were backing Frankie and also Little Stevie Wonder. So, yeah, pretty interesting. Okay, running out of time here, so I'm gonna keep going with this set that I interrupted.
Summer breeze showing off their silver leaves as we walked by. Soft kisses on a summer's day, laughing all our cares away, just you and I. Sweet sleepy warmth of summer night, gazing at the distant lights in the starry sky. They say that all good things must end someday. Autumn leaves must fall. But don't you know that it hurts me so to say goodbye to you? Have to go. No, 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 no. And when the rain beats against my window pane, I'll think of summer days again and dream of you. They say that all good things must end. You know that it hurts me so to say goodbye to you. Wish you didn't have to go. No, 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 no. And when the rain beats against my window pane, I'll think of summer days again and dream of you. And dream of you.
Hey-o. guitar gently weeps. Look at the floor, and I see it needs sweeping. Still my guitar gently weeps. I don't know why nobody told you how to run for told you they bought and sold you. I look at the world and I notice it's turning while my guitar gently weeps. Surely be learning. Still my guitar gently weeps.
Song that needs no introduction. This is what George had to say about it. The Eastern concept, he wrote it as an exercise in randomness inspired by the I Ching, the Book of Changes, and he said, the Eastern concept is that whatever happens is all meant to be. Every little item that's going down has a purpose. While My Guitar Gently Weeps was a simple study based on that theory. I picked up a book at random, opened it, saw Gently Weeps, then laid the book down again and started the song. One of the great songs in any era. Before that was a summer song, Chad and Jeremy, the World Artists, 1964. And this has been the 1964 and 1968 edition of Mostly Singles on Michael Wild. Coming up at 10 p.m., Battlefield Earth with Dan Seward. Mostly Singles is produced for Wave Farms, WGXC, 90.7 FM in the Hudson Valley in New York State. And I hope you had a great time. I'm going to play us out with a couple of songs. Good night.
Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger.